Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. So glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind that glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
And welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. The Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show, we take on 2016. Mr. Caymans is a little delayed. He is having dinner with his parents and his beautiful bride. Beautiful wife. Not even a bride anymore, just a wife, Miss Carly Caymans. And they're down in the very warm Florida. While up here in the New York area, it is completely cold. Now, we really don't have much to complain about. I mean, we had a 70-degree Christmas day. I mean, really, 70 degrees. And you know, before we left, and we're sorry about last week, we had a lot of technical difficulties which prevented our year in review. So we might have that, we might not. This week is only an hour. I have something to be, and Seth has some things to do, and, you know, the things that happen in the normal course of life. But anyway, a 70-degree Christmas day, followed up by a 50-degree New Year's Eve day, followed by a 45-degree New Year's Day, you really, really can't complain. Like, there's nothing to complain about when it comes to that. The weather outside, yeah, it's a little cold, and we're all bundled up. Seth is coming back tomorrow, and he's going to have his winter jacket on, and he left wearing probably shorts from New York, but he's coming back in a winter jacket, and you know what? It's January. It's January in New York. Merry New Year to everybody. Merry New Year, as Eddie Murphy would say in Trading Places. No, it's really Happy New Year. Happy 2016 to everybody. 2015, a little bit on the lighter side for me. Happy that we're in the new year. Happy that everybody in my family and all my friends are healthy. And we're starting off the new year with a bang. Now, is that bang Black Monday? In the NFL, it certainly was. Is it ESPN having the playoff championship series on New Year's Eve? How many things could have gone wrong in the last week? The Jets and Ryan Fitzpatrick in the last quarter throwing three interceptions, basically tossing away a playoff spot. Tom Coughlin not being able to survive. Jim Tomlinsula not being able to survive. Mike Pennany not being able to survive. Johnny Manziel, who knows if he's going to be able to survive, Chip Kelly not being able to survive in Philadelphia. You can say it was basically Charcoal Friday. Charcoal Monday. Not really a, so to speak, Black Monday as it normally is. I mean, I'll be the first one to say that. Not really what you expect. You only had four firings. That's it. And four firings, a lot of people lost their jobs. But Mike McCoy stays in San Diego. Jim Caldwell stays in Detroit. I know I'm missing one other that was obvious that people were saying, oh, he was definitely going to go. Well, Dan Campbell's probably out. Chuck Pagano's probably out. But Chuck Pagano may stay. You never know. I mean, Jim Irsay hasn't decided that yet. Ryan Gregson and Chuck Pagano generally do not get along. And I'm jumping from place to place because Seth will be on, and I'd like to save the Giants conversation for Seth. Because, look, Seth has not wanted Tom Coughlin to return, I think, for the last 2 to 3 years. And while Tom Coughlin was a very good coach, he may still be a very good coach. I don't think he was given the support and the players to succeed this year. and in the last couple of years. And I think that's really on Jerry Reese, the general manager. And he still has a job. I still don't understand how the Mariners work. It's not – you can only coach so much. And I say this in many sports. Bill Parcells said it best a couple of years ago. I want to be the guy that buys the groceries as well as makes the food. So he wanted both jobs. You can't make good food out of crap. You just can't. And this goes to many different sports. Like, you could say Tom Coughlin did a bad job this year. Well, show me a defense on that team. Show me beyond Jason Pierre-Paul, who only played, I believe, 7 games, where there was a starter on that defense that would have played 16 games with anybody else. I challenge you to find that. Maybe Robert Ayers. Maybe Prince Amukamara, who wasn't healthy the entire year. The offense was banged up. So show me, and if you want to tell me, well, Tom Brady had the same problem and they had the same issues in New England, well, that's a valid comparison, except for the fact if you look at the defense, they didn't have that many injuries. They still had their main guys. Jerod Mayo didn't even start. Jamie Collins missed 3 games. Rob Ninkovich played great the entire year. Chandler Jones played great until yesterday where he sat out the game. Their offense, yes. But defense, no, they had a defense. And they finished, I think it was 13-3. So there weren't any groceries for Tom Coughlin. And I'll go off to Tom Coughlin for a second because – the same applies, let's move to a different sport, we'll come back to football. I know, as I said before, I'm jumping a little bit. I'm waiting for the co-host to arrive, he should be soon. But let's talk about Syracuse basketball, my alma mater. Look, I am the most realistic guy when it comes to this team of any of my friends that are fans. I am. They're a good team. They're a decent team. Are they an NCAA team this year? I'm not really sure about that. They have absolutely no inside presence. And people are going to say, well, Jimmy Boeheim's coming back in a couple of games, and the team will be all good. Okay, repeat this after me, Syracuse fans. This is not Mike Hopkins' fault. Mike Hopkins was given a bad bag of groceries. Look, if Jim Boeheim is able to come back and they win every game going on, starting with North Carolina this Saturday, I will be the first one to eat crow. I will. But if you've been following me on Twitter, and please do, at FULawyer2001, Syracuse University Lawyer 2001, blogged, I was tweeting during the last game, talking with my buddies Brian Harrison and John Brennan. And you could see that the Syracuse team is just not as good as they've been in the past. They don't have the talent. And maybe this is finally catching up to them in as far as all the early entries, the Tyler Ennis, Michael Carter Williams, so on and so forth. But they're relying on Malai Richardson, who's a freshman. They're relying on the inside presence of Tyler Roberson, who is very good, but can't shoot a layup. And DeJuan Coleman, who's missed more games since his freshman year than he's played. This is not Mike Hopkins' fault. Again, Syracuse faithful, repeat after me. This is not Mike Hopkins' fault. And for those that are going to say, because of this 9-game stretch, where I believe right now they are 3-5, that Mike Hopkins does not deserve to be the coach of Syracuse, yeah, I don't know what type of coach you wanted with this team. I think you're going to see when Jim comes back that this team just doesn't have the groceries. Again, it's not so much, you can only coach up so much, especially on a young basketball team, but on any team. And I think this applies to many of the coaches that are getting fired. This applies to the Chuck Pagano's, where he started Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck went 3-5. Then he had to start Charlie Whitehurst, Matt Hasselbeck, Ryan Lindy, and yesterday, Josh Freeman. Josh Freeman, who was playing semi-pro football at the beginning of this year. Semi-pro football was on the team yesterday and won the game. I mean, let's look at some of these other coaches that were fired. Mike Pettine. Okay, so who's your quarterback? Oh, okay, we're going to give you Josh McCown, who can't stay healthy. We're going to give you Johnny Manziel, who was in Las Vegas for the finals, for the last game. He supposedly had a concussion, but he could fly, right? Because that happens. And Austin Davis, who got cut by 3 teams. Okay, so that's number 2. Let's look at other people that got fired. Dan Campbell. Okay, Dan Campbell, you know what? He was an interim coach. So I don't hold the same for him. Jim Tomlinsula. Yeah. All right, so we're going to stick you with Colin Kaepernick, who goes on the IR, I believe, in week 9 and has not progressed at all. And we're going to throw you with Blaine Gabbert, who played very well yesterday. But again, that team is devoid of talent. That team is completely devoid of talent. So let's see. And Chip Kelly is one of those where you can say he did buy the groceries. Well, you're right. He did. And he tried to make the team his. And unfortunately for him, the team failed. But I think that he will resurface perhaps in San Francisco. So overall, a couple of firings because the groceries just weren't good. And where are these GMs? Now, Roy Farmer, he was sacked as well in Cleveland. Ryan Gregson? No. Dennis Hickey? Yeah, Dennis Hickey was canned in Miami, but we all know maybe you don't know. But Dennis Hickey's not the problem. Dennis Hickey wasn't the GM. Dennis Hickey was GM in name only. And now Mike Greer, I think his brother's name is Dennis Greer, will be the GM also in name only, because the president is Mike Tannenbaum, for those that are aware, and those that are fans of my beloved Jets, we all know what Mike Tannenbaum does. Put you into cap hell. We'll see what happens. But overall, a very, very discouraging day for me yesterday. Actually, this whole weekend. So you have Syracuse, who goes out and loses to Pitt the other night after being ahead in the fourth quarter. Pitt goes on a 14-2 run and loses the game. Then we have New Year's Eve, where everybody wants to watch a bowl game, yet nobody is. And why ESPN, it's not ESPN's fault, why the NCAA just made it a rule that you must do it on New Year's Eve. That's part of the contract. It's not ESPN's fault at all. This is college football that wants to make New Year's Eve into the college night. Well, good luck with that. By the way, if you'd like to call in, 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. We're taking all types of calls, including those from the Steeler fans. Because you know what, Steeler fans? You won. You won yesterday. You needed to win, and you won. And I will take it all. You want to browbeat me? Go for it, because the Jets, man, they looked awful yesterday. The first half that's not the team that I was rooting for all year. It really wasn't. Chris Ivory, one great carry, and then pulled. Must have been hurt. Had to have been hurt. No way he does not stay in that game. But you know what? Didn't happen. And so it looks like Seth is going to call in about 5 minutes. So we'll see what happens there. But anyway, So the Jets, very, very disappointing to me. Extremely disappointing to me. And Syracuse, equally disappointing. And then, lucky for me, well, not lucky. I mean, fantasy football was a very good year. Two Super Bowl wins. Two. One in the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show. Congratulations to Seth and myself. I'm sorry, Mr. Nabate Isles. We ran away with it. We really did this year. And thank God that Jay Cutler was not on the team. Antonio Brown, once again, our MVP. Then I won in another league, the IPC League, which is where I work. Congrats to me. That's some good money. Lost in the, I don't even know what to call it, but in the Jason Dunn Classic. And then I also lost in the Kappa Kappa Psi, my fraternities league, of which I have now been a member. I believe we are going on 17 years, and I have never won a Super Bowl. In fact, I was the commissioner. I was the starter of that league. I think I've been in the Super Bowl seven times over the course of the 17 years. This year I just made the playoffs. But, yes, I lost in the playoffs. So money coming back, but not as much as I thought. But anyway, so congrats to me. And then last night, the one truly saving grace of pretty much the week in sports for Sean is I went to the Barclays Center to see the Islanders play the Dallas Stars. And thank you very much to my friend Mike Glazer for supplying the tickets. I'm sorry you had to watch a Jets game with us. Very happy to see my brother and my nephew, however, at the Jets game. But a loss, and you know what, Caleb? You'll get used to these losses. This happens every year. But anyway, so thank you very much to you, Mr. Glazer. A 6-5 win by my New York Islanders. I was very happy with the game, happy with the way the game turned out. Defense was a little slack. Obviously, the goalie situation for both teams was not top-notch, given that there were 11 goals. And that's a lot of goals in the NHL. But I'd like to take you on a little trip around the Barclays Center. Now, for those that have been following the show, you know that I was my grandparents were season ticket holders to the Islanders in the Nassau Coliseum, the mausoleum, as we like to call it. And the mausoleum closed last year. I went to the last game with my brothers. Fantastic time. Closed it downright. And this year they move into the Barclays Center, which is fitting because the end of one era, the start of another. I am so happy my grandfather did not live to see the Islanders in this place because I can't imagine him buying a ticket other than to stay with us. As my younger brother Jay said, I don't understand why they didn't even think about this type of scenario when they were building the thing. Let's build it just for basketball. Let's figure that part out. And then you go in there. First of all, the place is huge. It reminds me of the Giants stadium for hockey. It's got so much room in it that there really is no fandom. You can barely hear cheers. I'm sure if it was completely and totally packed, as it will be probably for a playoff game, it will get loud. But on a normal, everyday... Oh, it looks like Seth has joined us. Hold on a second. Mr. Kamitz.
Mr. Palmer, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. I was going through... I went to the... to the Barclays Center last night for the Islanders game.
Okay.
And I was going through the monstrosity of which it is. Just quickly, I will finish up and then we can start talking about your beloved New York Football Giants. So,
okay.
I would say 20% of the stadium is dedicated seat-wise to the press. I've never seen another stadium like it that way. 20% of all seats are designated press seats. Now, I don't know if you've seen a stadium like that, but that seems kind of awkward to me that you would have 20%. And those are the good seats. Then you have one side, which is a so one side of the stadium, it's built like a horseshoe. And in back of one of the nets, there is no seats until you get to the third level. Now, I've gone to the third level just to walk around. And if you sit in the third level, you can't see the goal in front of you. I just don't understand what they were thinking, and even more so, why people buy seats. But anyway, you know what? I'll take pictures if I go again, because I'm not sure I'll ever buy a seat to that place. For the playoffs, I'd much rather sit in a bar. $50 seat for not being able to see half the field, it kind of reminds me of sitting in the bleachers at Yankee Stadium when you turn to the right and you have a wall. But anyway, I digress. Talking about a wall, man, your Giants hit up a wall today. Are you happy with the decision?
I don't think it's a time to be happy. I think the time had come. You know, making the playoffs once in 7 years is not sufficient. It's just not. Coughlin's best team. It's had one great team, two very good teams, eight mediocre teams. The best team they had was 11-1. It was in 08 after Plaxico, after they won the title, and Plaxico shot himself, and that was the end of that team. But their two championship teams were not great. They certainly have not overachieved over the last few years. And the play calling in the fourth quarter, I expected more. A team, led by a veteran coach with a veteran QB should not be blowing five games in the fourth quarter, the last 2 minutes. I don't think they tuned them out. I think what happens is coaches get stale after a while. And I think Coughlin got stale last year. And, I wasn't thrilled, but I understood them bringing him back. But the team, this was a team in a very, very weak division that should have been able to make a run. And, going 6-10, even if you lost eight games or whatever number of games it was in the fourth, doesn't change the situation. The injuries don't change the situation. I don't have a problem with it. I wouldn't be surprised to see him pop up again somewhere. But he left, I think, under good circumstances with everybody. I think it was just he just hit a point or a time to go.
Well, let's go to what you just said. Okay, he wasn't able to prop them up to an 8-8 or a division title. Is there enough talent on this team for a division title? Because I was trying to make the point before you joined. You can only coach so much. You can only coach up talent to a degree. And granted, Coughlin does a good job of coaching up talent. And there were many mistakes made this year that you can say were his mistakes. I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is, did the Giants, in my opinion, didn't go far enough. They sacked the cook, but they didn't sack the guy that was giving them the groceries in Bill Parcells.
I think Jerry Reese probably should have been fired as well. But it just because, yes, he is not given an overwhelming amount of time. But the division was weak and it was there for the taking. You have the best quarterback in the division. You have the best wideout. Well, you have a great wideout. You have a decent running. You have decent running backs. The unfortunate part about your defense is, the secondary just got ambushed with injuries.
Hold on a second. Take away the injuries. Okay, let's say everybody's healthy. Pierre Paul, maybe Robert Ayers. Is there a starting player on a top 10 team on that defense?
Yes. There's
who?
A few.
Well,
Akamura.
Okay. Maybe.
Dominic Rogers Cromartie.
I actually forgot about the
Hankins.
Okay.
Hankins, maybe. Landon Collins, as a rookie, I don't know. But down the line, yeah.
Right, down the line. Saying this year, I don't think there's a defense, whether decimated by injuries or not, I don't think there's talent on that defense.
It's not. I'm not going to say it was an overwhelmingly talented. It was a below-average talent on the defensive side. But look at the rest of the division. It's no different anywhere else. The whole division stunk.
Well, maybe the whole division should lose the job, except somebody had to win.
Well, if you look at it, two of the four coaches did.
Yeah.
And if Kirk Cousins didn't become the second coming of whoever you want to call him, of who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Fine, the second coming of Aaron Rodgers, then the only coach who would have kept his job would have been Jason Garrett, who should not be keeping his job. So, you have four teams. Dallas completely underachieved. Philly traded away most of its talent for reasons unknown to anybody. And Chip Kelly lost his job. The Giants underachieved with some decent offensive talent. And and the Redskins were able to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, won their games at home, and they're hosting Green Bay, I believe, which is a pretty winnable game. If they're hosting Green Bay, it's a winnable game for them. But they certainly can't beat any of the top three teams in that conference. So, it's been a down for a significant period of time. The division, which dominated throughout the 80s and the beginning of the 90s, has been a disaster. And it's a mediocre division. And that's it. And every coach should probably be replaced in that division outside of Gruden. And I don't think Gruden is anything special. I just think the Redskins hit something at the right time.
So let's go to the second question. Now, I have seen all day Tom Coughlin has been replaced, Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. I get the two Super Bowls. I do. And there are, I believe, now four NFL coaches with two Super Bowls that are not in the Hall of Fame. Those are Tom Flores, Jimmy Johnson, George Seifert, and Mike Shanahan. And obviously now Coughlin, so five.
Wait a minute. Jimmy Johnson is not in the Hall of Fame?
Unless he just got inducted, he was not. Yeah, well, maybe it was this year. But I don't believe he's in the Hall of Fame.
Well, maybe. It's not like basketball where it's the pro and college. I guess from a strictly professional Hall of Fame standpoint, I understand where they're coming from. Okay. So
I'm looking that up. Hold on. He is not in the Hall of Fame. He is in the college football Hall of Fame. But he is not in the pro football Hall of Fame. He won 80-64 in his pro career.
Okay.
Now, granted, two Super Bowls, but 80-64 doesn't get you very far. Coughlin has 170 wins. I do understand he took, obviously, the Giants to two Super Bowls. He also, not only two Super Bowls for them, but he took the Jaguars to two championship games, one in their second year with Mark Brunell. George Seifert wins two Super Bowls with the 49ers. Mike Shanahan has a better record than Coughlin. Now, granted, Shanahan may not be eligible. You can take that into account. And Flores, Tom Flores, who the first Latino head coach to win a Super Bowl, wins two with the Raiders and does not have the same record. Is Coughlin that much of a shoo-in? Because I don't see it. And maybe I'm just biased in the fact that I'm trying to play the contrarian here, but does he have an argument? Sure, certainly.
He has an argument, but he's certainly not a shoo-in. You have to remember, you can
compare him to Ben Parcells. He does have the same amount of wins. I'll give you that. He also has 20 more losses, which is a lot.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's going to come into play. Remember, he also took over a an expansion team. And you kind of, you know, you have to kind of give them a little bit of leeway in regards to that.
Well, you don't, because he took over an expansion team, and then he won an AFC championship in the second year.
He went
to
the AFC championship. They were still, I mean, they had a very good run.
We can barely hear you. You're mumbling, bud.
Okay, hold on. A little bit better now?
Yes.
Okay. Excuse me. I think it's a tough run. I don't, you know, he's become beloved in New York for a variety, you know, for obvious reasons. But I don't see him. I think it's a tough call. I don't think he's a shoo-in at all. Number one, people don't think of him as a guy who, you know, he was never the coach of any of the best teams. You know, these teams were not great. And I don't know. I really, I'm the person, I'm a believer in the great make the Hall of Fame. I don't think of Coughlin as great. I think Coughlin is very good. So to me, I don't think he would be, I can see him getting in, but I don't think he would not be at the top of my list. Let's put it that way.
No, look, I'm with you. I'm actually going to go and look at the coaches in the Hall of Fame, because I think it means something as to who's in there, right? So is he on a par with these guys? So I'm just going to give you the guys from the modern era, because I don't think going back to the Sid Gilmans really matters. So you have George Allen, Joe Gibbs, I guess Bud Grant is the modern era, Tom Landry, Marv Levy, Vince Lombardi, I guess, isn't, John Madden, Chuck Knoll, Bill Parcells, Don Shula, and Bill Walsh. Tom Coughlin's not in those. No.
There was one name in there that kind of
Bud Grant
rang true. Bud Grant, I think would probably be there. Hold on. Okay, here. Okay, I'm looking at coaches now. George Allen, I never really considered George Allen a great coach. I mean, he took the Redskins in 72 or 73 to the Super Bowl. He led the Rams, but he was not a revolutionary coach in my mind.
He's the first one in the era. When I went down the list, he stopped in 77. Everybody
right.
else in the 80s. So just to put that into perspective here. Or the 90s.
Okay. All right. Gibbs is not a discussion. Bud Grant, Bud Grant was with the same team for 17 years. I think there's a lot to be said for that. They went to 4 Super Bowls. I'll be honest. I don't know enough about Bud Grant's coaching to make a determination whether he was, but I would think Coughlin would be in that ballpark. Let me see if I can pull up.
Bud Grant went 168 and 108, so he's about the same.
Yeah.
I mean, Coughlin's 172, I think, and like 130. So they're about, I mean, it's 20 more losses, because I think he has about the same as I think Bud Grant and Parcells are very similar. Hold on a second. Parcells is 183 and 138, and Grant is 168 and 108. So, yeah, they're about the same, except Grant's got no Super Bowl wins, and Parcells has two.
Yeah. Tom Landry, it's not a discussion. Marv Levy. Who did Levy coach before the Bills of Kansas City?
Marv Levy won 154 and 120.
20, right. Certainly not a phenomenal, but, he three-time coach of the year.
Yep, 4 Super Bowls.
4 Super Bowls. Of course, they lost them all.
he's the closest one. I think he's the closest one to Coughlin. Because then you go John Madden, who has the best record of all time.
Wait, who does?
John Madden has the best winning percentage of all time.
But again, Madden also only coached 10 years. But 103-32 is a lot to be said for it. Chuck Knoll won 4 Super Bowls. Not going to have that discussion. Parcells, we've talked about. Shula is the all-time leader in wins. Walsh is probably considered, along with Vince Lombardi, as one of the 2 or 3 greatest coaches of all time. I don't see him as a Hall of Famer. You know, again, that's just my opinion. I could certainly be wrong. But yeah, I see him, again, as the Hall of Very Good, not the Hall of Great.
Yep. Okay, so let's go on from there. Who's replacing him? Because you're not replacing you're not replacing Reese. And I think that limits the players in the game.
Well, that I don't know. I think it's a pretty attractive job. You have an enormous amount of money. I think they're $50 million under the salary cap. Or they will be after this year, assuming they don't resign Pierre Paul. You're in New York, or New Jersey, whatever you want to call it. You have a great front office. You have some decent talent, not overwhelming. But, you know, whoever's there is going to probably be there for 7 to 8 to 10 years. Assuming he does a nice, decent job. You know, it's probably the most stable, 3 or 4 most stable franchises in the league. And I'm curious to see if they go after myself. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I like McAdoo, but I don't think we've talked about this. In my mind, McAdoo, they brought in McAdoo with the idea of him becoming. But I don't see that. I just don't see that happening. I think they may try and go defensive side. You know, maybe you look at a Sean McDermott. Maybe you go to college. You try and convince David Shaw from Stanford. I don't know who. You're going to hear Adam Gase. You're going to hear. You know, it's going to also be somebody who can handle being in New York, and I think that's going to limit it quite a bit. I don't know. You know, they're always kind of close to the vest on these things. You know, I know I didn't love the Jim Fossil hiring years ago. I didn't love the Coughlin hiring years ago. And I was kind of proven wrong on both of them. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
So if you have to put odds right now, where are you thinking top 3 choices for you? Maybe not for them, but for you. Where are you looking? Are you looking at a Sean Payton type, or do you not think he comes because of 2 reasons? First of all, power. He doesn't really have the power in New Orleans anyway. But number 2, fact that the Giants probably will not give up a draft pick for a coach.
Well, that's it. That's why to put in Coughlin. To put in Payton. Payton, I think, would be perfect. But I agree. I don't think he's coming around. The Giants are not the kind of team that trade for coaches. They don't have to. With Jerry Reese there, I think there would be quite a few issues. Who do I think they look at? I think they look at McDaniels. I think they look at Hugh Jackson in Cincy. I think they look at Sean McDermott from Carolina. I would almost like to see them bring in a defensive guy and keep McAdoo as the offensive coordinator. I don't have any issue with McAdoo at all. You know, you can't help that Ruben Randall's a head case and Victor Cruz got injured the whole year. And I mean, Eli has been pretty solid. So I don't mind the 3-headed running back situation. So, you know, their defense is a disaster. I'd rather there be concentration on that end. You know, if that means you go after Terrell Austin from from Detroit, kind of a weird name that's out there because Detroit's defense not really been great the last few years. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think defensive side of the ball is the way to go. But again, I think it all comes down, and I said this before, how many groceries are you getting for this team? Because I don't think they have the talent. And I was saying this in regards to Syracuse basketball before, and we can move on to that very quickly, in that it doesn't matter. People are clamoring for Jim Boeheim's return. And my response is, don't think that the team's going to be that much better. You can only coach up so much. The talent isn't there, and you don't have. And for Syracuse, it's the lack of size. It doesn't matter who the coach is. And that's why I think that the onus is on Jerry Reese at this point. It's not really – it wasn't really the coach. And I think that's in a lot of places. Look, you look at Jim Tomansula in San Francisco. Was it really his fault? He got 1 year. Is it Mike Pennington? Is it really his fault, or is it Roy Farmer and Jim Haslam? Is it really Dan Campbell's fault, or is it the fact that Mike Tannenbaum's still the GM there? I won't say it's all the GM's fault, and I'm not saying that talent can't be coached up. But the fact is, if you don't have the talent, it doesn't matter. And, I mean, that's just the end-all, be-all of it. And you got to start with a quarterback somewhere. And unlike the Giants, most of those situations don't have one. So good luck to Jared Goff and to Paxton, whatever his name is, whoever's going to wind up in Cleveland. Because it looked like after yesterday and Mr. Mandel going a little bit over to Vegas, where I plan to be in a couple of weeks, he won't be back.
I do like he's requesting to go to Dallas. I think that fits well.
Wait, he's requesting? I didn't see that.
Oh, I thought he requested to go to – I think his preferred place would be Dallas.
Oh, well,
I thought I read that a couple places.
Yeah. Tony will be happy to take him under his wing.
Yeah. So what did we talk about in the first 20 minutes that I missed? I apologize. Apologies to everybody.
We went on the rail about coaches. That was just about it. I mean, I waited to talk about the Giants with you, but it was basically coaches and how, like I said, you need the groceries. I have a very hard time in all sports with that. But we do have the Hall of Fame announcement coming up on Thursday, the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm not sure if you were aware that it was this close, but it's always the first Thursday of the calendar year. And
okay,
The Baseball Writers Association has sent out a memo, surprisingly, with a dress code for the Downtown Atletico. So for all those writers that are listening to our broadcast, you are not allowed to wear flip-flops. You're not allowed to wear cut-off jeans. You're not allowed to wear crop tops or tube tops because these are things that baseball writers tend to wear in the middle of winter in New York. Anyway, so I think we both agree that Ken Griffey's going to get in. Yes? I don't think there's much of an argument here. Do you think that this is the year Mike Piazza gets in? And if he does that open the door?
No. It may be the year that he gets in, but I'm not sure it opens the door. You know, him and Bagwell are there was never anything proof. They're just what, and you know, Piazza goes down as one of the three or four, probably one of the five greatest catchers of all time. Bagwell is a borderline Hall of Famer. I'm a big fan of his, but he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I do think, you know, without proof and as a top five player of all time at his position, I think it's time. I think he gets in. You know, he's at 70%. He was at 70% last year. It's not a great class this year. So in my mind, he's probably, I think he's in.
That's his birth position. That's it.
I can't hear you.
The class is Griffey this year. That's it. I mean,
yeah,
it's Griffey and Jim Edmonds. I mean, and Edmonds is unfortunately probably going to drop off to 5%, which is wrong because he reminds me very much he's going to get into the saga of Lou Whitaker, where he's just an underappreciated player. I mean, Edmonds could have been, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the third best center fielder of his generation, especially when you take into field. For a while, he was probably the best in the National League. But he's going to drop off because of the rule of 10. And the rule of 10 means that only 10 players, that voters can only select up to 10 players. And with the backlog of Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and, should I keep going, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Rafael Palmeiro, that players are not, voters are not voting for. Those guys are still on the ballot, and thus they take away valuable votes from guys like Jim Edmonds and Tim Raines. Do you think Raines gets in? And the truth shall set you free.
Yeah, I do. It's a week. This is, I think the thing is, what, one more year after this that he could get in?
Yes, he's in ninth year.
In my mind, you know, if there's going to be a year, he does. This is the year. It's not a great list. You know, as we've talked about. You know, I think you're. You know, what's his name is a no brainer. Griffey's a no brainer. But who else are you looking at? Trevor Hoffman. Billy Wagner, I mean, yeah, come on.
You're looking into the run-ons. You're looking at the Mike Mussinas. You're looking at the guys that maybe should have gotten in last year, but that was such a great class. I mean, last year may have been the best class in history or the second best behind Robin Yount, George Brett, and Nolan Ryan, which is phenomenal. But when you have Pedro Smoltz, Randy Johnson, and Craig Biggio, that's going to be very hard until you get to Ruth, Wagner, Cobb, and Walter Johnson, and Christy Mathewson. He's probably – when Christy Mathewson, who may be the best left-handed pitcher in baseball history, is the fifth one on the list for his own year. Actually, I think he was righty. He was a righty. I'm sorry. So the second-best righty of all time, third. Remember, Cy Young didn't even make it that year. Or Matt, no. Now I'm really confused. I'll have to go look that up. There are only five. So either Cy Young didn't make it that year or Christy Mathewson didn't make it that year.
Cy Young did not make it. Cy Young, I believe it was Mathewson, Johnson. I could be wrong.
All right, I'll look
Ruth Cobb. Ruth Cobb, Hornsby. No, wait, not Hornsby. Ruth Cobb, Wagner, Walter Johnson.
All right, hold on. 1936. Cobb, Johnson, Mathewson, Ruth, and Wagner. So no,
Cy Young made it in 37. Yeah.
No. In 37, it was Nap LaJoy, Trish Speaker, Connie Mack, and John McGraw. Really?
Huh.
Mathewson didn't make it to 30. Grover Cleveland made it in 38. I don't even see where Mathewson had to make it before this.
No, Mathewson made it in 36. You're saying Young.
Young. So where was Cy Young? 39? Nope. 40? Nope. Wow. Okay. Oh, Cy Young, 37. Okay. He made it with Connie Mack and Nap LaJoy, 37. So his second year with John McGraw. But let's understand, and I know, Seth, you are a big believer in that the Hall of Fame is the Hall of Great. We've established this. There are guys that you consider all-time greats that didn't make it for like 5 years. One of them is Joe DiMaggio. DiMaggio didn't make it on the first try. And that to me is incomprehensible. Now, I think Joe DiMaggio is an overrated player,
by statistical evaluation. But
Wait a minute. Joe DiMaggio made it in 1955. He retired in 51. Please explain how he was delayed 5 years.
I'm sorry. I thought it was DiMaggio. He didn't make it. I know Snyder didn't make it for like 20 years.
Yeah, but Snyder is not an all-time great. Snyder's a very good.
All right. I'm going to find somebody that I thought about. Okay, my bad. So anyway, there are players that did not make it on the first try. I think that's what I was trying to get at. Well,
okay.
Yogi didn't make it until 72. When did Yogi retire? Hold on.
I don't exactly know. 65. So he was 1 year. He missed by 1 year.
Yeah. So, and Yogi is what? One of the top two catchers of all time? Him and Bench?
Probably. But look at. But I think to kind of look at who got in on 71. These are all guys, the only players that made it in 1970, it looks like they could be a year off. All these guys, Dave Bancroft, Jake Beckley, Chick Hafey, Harry Hooper, Joe Kelly, Rube Marquard, Satchel Paige, most of these guys had retired at a minimum 30 years before.
Yeah.
It looks like they took a year off.
I mean, the other thing is, remember, that communications weren't the same as they are today. There wasn't internet. There was, and you saw a lot of the Yankees and a lot of the Red Sox and a lot of the major market players getting in before anybody else. Just in general, for that reason, the same reason why Yankees won more most, why Joe Gordon won a most valuable player over Ted Williams when Ted Williams had 400, he won the Triple Crown, not 400. 400 was Machio's 56-game hitting streak. But anyway, so I need an update. By the way, I also gave an update that we won our fantasy league. So congratulations to you.
Did you play We Are the Champions to open?
I did not, but our Seth and Sean Sports Radio team did work today.
Okay, all right, Randy.
It worked.
Yes, 12 points from beating the 72 Dolphins of fantasy football. So congratulations to us. A relatively smooth run through the finals, winning by about 40 or 50.
Well, we didn't have Jay Cutler.
We did not have. We played against Jay Cutler, actually.
Yeah, in the
semis.
Was
that the week before?
That was in the semis. But it
the
did
curse,
solidify our position. I'm not sure you got my text yesterday, that we will be keeping Antonio Brown, considering he had 31 points.
So I assume we spoke about the Jets.
We spoke just of my disappointment. Now we only have about 5 minutes. We have about 7 minutes left. So my disappointment in that I gave credit to the Steelers because they won the game that they needed to win. They lost the game before that they needed to win, but they won the game that they really needed to win. And the Jets, you know what? I watched the game with my nephew and I told him, get used to it. This is what happens.
Tell him he should become a Giants fan.
Can you make the case, and yesterday was a prime example, that you cannot win in this league without a top 7 to 10 quarterback?
You cannot win, what, a Super Bowl? Or win?
You definitely can, in my opinion, you definitely cannot win a Super Bowl. I don't even think you can be an AFC championship team anymore without a top 7 to 10 quarterback.
Okay, wait a second. If the Jets have held up, if Kevin Tompkins makes that catch.
Yep.
Please explain to me what top 7 to 10 quarterback.
No. I said go to a championship, not go to the playoffs.
No, you didn't let me finish. Goes to the AFC Championship game. What top 10 quarterback? Brady and who?
Yeah, you have no Dalton. You have no Roethlisberger.
You may have – Manning's not a top 10 quarterback at this point.
Manning's not a top 10 quarterback. You may be right. Yeah, I guess you are. I stand corrected. I am eating some crow. Although you could make the case that this year Andy Dalton has been the top 10 quarterback.
Yes, he could, but he may not be playing. You don't know.
Agreed. Well, we do have 5 minutes left, and we have a couple of wild cards that we have to pick. So,
okay.
You have right now, you have Cincinnati against Pittsburgh. Yes, Cincinnati against Pittsburgh.
What an awful matchup for Cincinnati.
I agree. You're picking Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh,
Pittsburgh may not have D'Angelo Williams either.
Yeah. And that is actually going to probably be the difference between who I take and who I don't. The Steelers do not have
much
of a defense.
Well, Bundy's got 3 minutes to make these picks, so let's move it along.
Okay. I'm actually going to, you know what? Assuming Dalton comes back, and I can't, it's not a 100% certainty, I'm going to go that Cincinnati is finally going to win a playoff game.
Okay, now I'm going to take Pittsburgh. Okay, Indianapolis against the Chiefs. Houston against the Chiefs.
I'll go with the Chiefs.
As will I. Okay, moving over to the NFC, you have Minnesota against Green Bay. Again?
Yeah, I think it's the rematch.
Okay, in Minnesota. And I'm taking Minnesota.
It's Seattle at Minnesota.
And I'll take Seattle on the road in that game.
Yeah, I think it's a relatively easy call. I'll take Seattle as well.
And we got Washington and Minnesota, which I think is going to be an intriguing game. In
Washington and Green Bay.
Oh, Washington and Green Bay. Sorry. Even more intriguing. In Washington. And I'm going to take Washington because I haven't seen Green Bay play well in the last 2 months.
I agree. I think Washington is fodder for whoever they play in the second round. But
yes.
Green Bay has been terrible. I mean terrible. Most
terrible?
As
in Charles Barkley terrible?
Exactly.
Anyway, okay, 2 minutes left. I'm going to go very quickly. Shame on Montgomery County. There is a guy that opened up an ice skating rink in memory of his stepdaughter, who died at 35, open up to the public. Montgomery County, where Seth used to live and I used to frequent very often in Maryland, said, "I'm sorry, sir, this isn't zoned for this reason, so you have to shut down your rink." Shame on them. By the way, the rink was for anybody can skate.
All right, did we talk any college football at all? Today.
We did not. We can leave that to next week, and we will.
Okay, but we should. We can pick the national title game next week.
Yes.
Quick shout out to TCU though. Comes back with the biggest bowl deficit of all time, without their Heisman candidate coach QB, and with the senior guy who had never started before, and his father had died, I believe, a week before, coming back from 31-0 to win in triple overtime. Beating my wife's heart, breaking my wife's heart, who's become a diehard Oregon fan.
Just for the colors.
Yeah, go. What'd you say?
Just for the colors.
No, just for the duck. All she really cares about is the duck. Yes, this is my life, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty disappointing bowl week in general, but you know, shout out to Mr. McCaffrey in Stanford. Good Lord. 370 yards. It felt like it was all in the first half. That team could have won by 800.
All right, Seth, say goodbye.
I thought he deserved it.
Say goodbye.
Talk next week.
Bye.
Bye.